call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
And a good Thursday to you. It is Wake Up Call SB Nation Radio. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. You don't want to miss that. All right, the XFL played five games, and then it went out, and then it was kaput. And not only was it kaput, it was really kaput. I mean, it was done. It wasn't like the other sports where they're like, well, let's try to get back in some sort of fashion, or maybe we'll just come back next year for the good old college try. No, the XFL said, yeah, we're done. Like, done. And it was getting good reviews. It was something that people kind of enjoyed, and was good football for most of it. It still needed some work at the quarterback play, but overall, I don't think people hated the product. They kind of liked it. Spring football seemed to be working. It was a lot different than it was 20 years ago. But now it's mired in a lawsuit as Oliver Luck, the XFL commissioner, is suing for a breach of contract. And what he wants is $23.8 million, which is a lot of money, last time I checked, for a league where five games were in. So naturally, when you're going to sue Vince McMahon, you know that his lawyers are going to counter. And the Oliver Luck complaint by the XFL is substantial for three aspects. They claim that he failed in his duties during the global pandemic, that he used his company iPhone for personal use, and that he signed Antonio Callaway even though Vince McMahon told him not to and was explicit that they did not sign anybody that had any legal trouble. Those three things could keep Oliver Luck from collecting the money that he feels is due to him since the XFL folded shop due to the global pandemic. Kind of an interesting court case, if you will, because look, I thought the XFL kind of jumped the gun a bit by saying it's over. I thought you were building something that was starting to get positive. If the XFL had come out and the entire experiment was doomed to fail, right? The ratings were atrocious. It looked like the league was a disaster. It wasn't well run. Teams were stranded at airports, whatever. Then I would say, yep, you know what? This global pandemic is sort of the early exit for this league that didn't have much staying power anyway. But that wasn't the case. It looked like this was going to be something that was going to be in our sports life for at least a couple of years. I can't predict that it would have lasted 10 or 15 or 20, but at least a couple of years. It had that kind of trajectory.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
1998, it is a Throwback Thursday on this date, Seinfeld's finale. What was it that you sent me? A 30-second commercial cost $2 million on that Seinfeld episode? That was amazing.
That's pretty impressive for a TV show.
That is. 22 years ago, that's still incredible money.
Yeah, what, Super Bowl now is at 5?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But that was around the price of a Super Bowl commercial then.
Yeah.
It was like two and a half.
God, that must be great to be on a TV show that's so popular that you're just rolling in the residuals. It just the money just keeps pouring in.
Now with HBO bought Friends.
Yeah.
And I think they got Big Bang Theory as well.
Oh, that's great.
So when their new streaming service comes along, that's the only place you'll be able to see Friends or Big Bang Theory.
Those checks that just come in, how big are they? They just come in every day.
Well, you feel like you're going to be like, what was his name? Ty Webb in Caddyshack.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know, and have somebody over at your house that goes, here's a check for $75,000.
Yeah. Right. Just keeps,
here's another check for $75,000. You can keep it.
That's right. So just 78 million people watch the final episode? That's nuts. That's crazy. That's great.
And that was a where were you?
It wasn't where were you. You're right. It really was. It really was a where were you moment.
And a lot of people were upset.
Yeah, it should have. I don't know.
I think the problem was, though, because it was a show about nothing. How do you end a show about nothing?
How do you end it?
How do you wrap up storylines?
That's a good question.
Because there was never a storyline to wrap up.
Yeah, but I feel like no matter what people do with a finale, it's real. Nobody's really happy.
No.
You know, like everybody, whatever, I don't know what people want, you know, like, I mean, Breaking Bad ended fine. I guess nobody really complained about that, but remember The Sopranos? Like people went nuts.
Well, what, okay, they're with like, Breaking Bad. How dare you? With Breaking Bad, would people have said it's a terrible finale if Walter White didn't kill him?
Right.
Didn't die?
Yeah, right.
Sorry, spoiler.
Probably. Probably.
I mean, people would have been up in arms like, how is he still alive?
Yeah.
We want him dead.
I mean, what makes people, what do people want out of a series when it's over? Like when it's over, what do they want out of it? Right? I mean, that doesn't make, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, you just do what you got to, I mean, Sopranos was one, here's the one complaint I had about The Sopranos, which is when The Sopranos went dark, right? As soon as the, you know, the bell rang and Meadow was coming into the shop, to the store, restaurant, I should say. And then the screen went blank. I didn't like when David Chase was like, oh, well, you know, it's up to the audience to determine. You're the storyteller. It's not my job to finish your story for you. You're supposed to tell me a story.
But I do like the rationale of it. What was it? 20 years later, when he finally admitted to what the ending meant.
Well, that it was that he died, or he got.
No, that it was the viewer that got capped.
Oh, the viewer that got capped. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know if he looked at all the different fan theories and went,
I like that one. I like the one where, because Bobby Bacala said that it was getting killed is like, it just goes blank. Right.
Yeah.
When you just go blank. So when it went blank, it's like, oh, maybe it's Tony's perspective. Maybe you got hit. But yeah, you don't have to do some, we're not asking for some sort of, you know, larger picture here. Like, tell us what happened.
Exactly.
Like, tell us, like, again, I don't like it when it's so ambiguous that I have to determine your ending for you. Like, I have to figure it out for you. I'm the one that has to come up with my own theory. I don't want my own theory. I want your theory. I want your story. It's you introduce these characters. You introduce the world of these characters to me. You introduce the obstacles. Then you finish your story. It's not up to me to finish your story. If I was going to finish your story, why don't you pay me the residuals? You know, it's like, no, you got to finish your, that's a cop out. I don't like that with movies either. When movies say, well, the meaning of this is whatever you decide. No, it's what you decide. You're supposed to tell me. So anyway, back to this Oliver Luck story. I am fascinated with anything Vince McMahon has his fingers on.
Yeah.
So I normally would have been like, eh, whatever. He's suing for money and, you know, it's money he was owed. But how quick Vince McMahon's lawyers were like, no, this guy's terrible at his job. And he, by the way, he used a phone once for personal use. And
does it make sense to you? Like, I don't see how any of the allegations against Oliver Luck are true.
Yeah. So here's the three things. I'll say it again. Here's the three things. He said there's gross neglect because he felt like they felt like Oliver Luck abandoned his responsibilities during the global pandemic. One, signing a receiver without approval of Vince McMahon and then using a iPhone for personal use. Let me just say, okay, I'm not a contract lawyer. I'm just a guy observing this from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Gross neglect during a global pandemic. What exactly was Oliver Luck supposed to do? Like,
right.
What was Oliver Luck's failure in his duties as commissioner when everybody around the world was shutting everything down? What was he supposed to do to keep the XFL viable?
I guess just keep rolling.
I guess so, right?
Why cancel the league when you can still have football? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no fans? I mean, maybe Vince McMahon's in there saying, hey, we held WWE events. Why can't we have XFL events?
I guess so, right? I guess so. And Luck's response to that was he sent a text message and said, oh, well, here. He showed a text message saying, this is what I was saying I was doing. Like, I was working on budgets for next year, et cetera, et cetera. But what was he supposed to do? Like, how was he supposed to run? Like, if there was a blueprint in the operations manual at the start of the season said, hey, just in case a global pandemic hits, these are the steps we want you to take. And he was like, I ain't doing those things. Then you'd have a case. But if it's just floating out there that the XFL canceled its season out of some neglect that Oliver Luck committed, you're going to have to prove that, because nobody else is getting that kind of, you know, tag when they cancel, when they stopped everything. And I don't think it was Oliver Luck's call to cancel the whole thing. Right? I mean, that's the one still, that's the thing that still doesn't sit well with me. You want to cancel this season and say, 2021, we'll check it out again. They bailed on the whole project, the $500 million investment of this thing. They bailed on it after five games. Said, no, we're bankrupt. Bye. We're done. Now, signing Antonio Callaway. All right, this is a little sticking point here. For McMahon claims that he did not ask approval of to sign a player that had some trouble, that had been suspended by the NFL, had substance abuse issues, and this was a problem because the XFL had it written that they did not want to deal with troubled players with problematic backgrounds. Okay, then I think there's got to be a definition of problematic background, right? I mean, is every single player on every XFL roster completely clean?
They're all church-going folk.
Right? Like, nobody has a problem? So what if I got suspended in college? Yeah, right. What if I got suspended in college for arguing with my position coach? Can I not play in the XFL?
Then at the same time, is, you know, just like in the NFL, does talent trump issues?
Right.
Because we certainly have had a lot of talented people who have remained in the league that leave us scratching our heads going, wow.
Yeah, and I think Luck's lawyer could make the case that, like, okay, you entrusted him to put the best product that he could out there. Okay, we might go over Antonio Callaway's background, but at the same time, what is he supposed to do in terms of bringing in talent? Like, how, like, what kind of slippery slope is this when you talk about problematic players? Was it he once was suspended by the NFL, so he's not in? What about college? What about legal trouble that's been cleared and taken care of? Like, oh, I was pulled over for a DUI and I lost my license and I served my time and I've never done it again. Something along those, like, what do you mean by problematic? Is it problematic from an NFL standpoint or problematic from a society standpoint? What is that? And let's be honest. Can I just make this clear? I think the problematic background was Colin Kaepernick. All right, let's be honest here. He wasn't going. All right, maybe a couple of players that, like, a Greg Hardy or some, you know, like anybody who had real trouble with the NFL. But I honestly think McMahon didn't want Kaepernick anywhere near this league, and I think he created that part of that criteria so that he could keep Kaepernick out of this league. Like, you know what? Go at it case by case. But as long as the last name isn't Kaepernick, we can discuss it. But if the last name is Kaepernick, he can't be anywhere near this league. All right, let's just keep it at that. And then the iPhone, like using an iPhone for personal. All right, I'm sorry. Really? I mean, come on. Who hasn't used a company phone at one time or another to make a personal call?
Did it cost you extra minutes?
Right, exactly.
Hell, I remember a job I had. I was given a company phone, and I got rid of my phone. Got rid of my plan.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had the company phone. It was like, why am I? I can't have two phones. I'm not that guy. You know, I'm using this phone all the time. Why not just give this number out to other people?
What does McMahon mean? Like, did he call Andrew up to see how he was doing, and so now he can't get his $23 million? Like, is that what we're talking about? Did he text his wife? He's going to be late for dinner. I mean, what are we doing here?
Do you still mean to pick up eggs?
This is how, remember Hugh Freeze, the head coach at Ole Miss?
Yeah.
That's how he got in trouble.
I mean, unless,
he used an Ole Miss phone to get an escort.
Are there damaging phone records like that? Or are we going to see Andrew or Oliver Luck with all these things like, oh my God, this guy was a little horn dog.
That's right. Exactly. Now that has gotten a couple of people in trouble.
Yeah.
When he used the school or team issued phone to
it's amazing order. How many times he went to Robert Kraft's massage parlor.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, the first part of it where he wasn't doing his job, man, Oliver Luck, he was the only commissioner I've ever known that was willing to come on any show at any time.
I know.
I mean, he was on ours, I think, twice.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw him in the building at least 2 to 3 times.
I don't get it. Like, I thought he did a fantastic job.
He did. I mean, it's a startup league, so he traveled across the country to every single team city, visited whenever he came to Houston, he hit every single radio station. I'm not just talking sports station. He would go on all the stations.
Yeah, he's drumming up business. And you know what else he has to do? He has to clean up your mess, Vince McMahon, because every interview of people who knew about the league 20 years ago was, are we going to have like naked cheerleaders in the locker room again? Yep. Are we going to do this thing where you're going to, like, you're just going to showcase this or violence and all this other stuff?
Name the MVP trophy, the He Hate Me trophy.
Yeah, exactly. And he's got to be like, no, it's a different league. It's a different approach. We're not doing that. Blah blah. He's gonna do all of that stuff, and he did a great job. I liked talking to him. I thought it was fun to discuss the ups. You know, not the challenges of this league, the ups and downs of the project. I'll say this forever. I thought the league was fine. I thought the league was doing a good job for what it was. It was never going to be right underneath the NFL in terms of talent. Look, the NFL can't find 32 starting quarterbacks. How in the XFL are we going to find 7, right? I mean, we had, what, 2 that were decent enough to get a sniff in the NFL? Jordan Tamu and P.J. Walker. But that's it. But he had a product that was getting better. I just needed more work, but he was willing to put the work in. Just bizarre. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. That's coming up in 15 minutes. It's SB Nation Radio.
We made up their minds, and they started packing.
It's Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when your battery goes dead, everything can come to a stop, so don't take a chance of getting stranded. O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Make sure your vehicle is prepared for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. A little addendum from yesterday when we talked about college football was said Alabama was looking for another opponent for their opener in Arlington because they're looking at USC, and looks like USC could be in a situation where they're not going to be starting workouts in time. So they want to get in. You know, they were supposed to play USC in Arlington, and like, maybe we won't play them. So we want to have the opener still in Texas. So maybe TCU is available. Well, there's an addition to that. Mike Bone, who's the athletic director at USC, said, "Oh no, whoa, hold on. We do plan on playing Alabama in our season opener." Now, There is a belief that there's going to be an extension of the lockdown, a stay-at-home order until the end of July in L.A. County. But Bone is saying, don't look at that as the be-all, end-all, that we will not be ready to go for the season opener. Now, if I'm Alabama, I want to be very cautious here, because I kind of need to know what that is, you know, if I need to find another opponent. There's some money on the table for Alabama to show up for that game. And I need an opponent, obviously, to play in that game. And if at the last minute USC goes, we can't play, I kind of want to have a contingency plan in place. So I don't blame Alabama for trying to look at TCU, for example. They might be in the same situation because they're going to be opening up in Berkeley for their season opener, and that might not happen. If I'm Alabama, I will definitely listen to Mike Bone, but I definitely need to hear a plan. Are you going to be able to start workouts on time enough to be prepared for the game in September? Because if we're hearing 4 to 6 weeks of practice time, that's cutting it really close. If you're going to have a stay-at-home order in effect in LA County until the end of July, that is cutting it really close. So I understand. Again, I kind of understand where Alabama is going. Look, we want to play you, USC. We'd love to play you. But I also need to make sure we're covered on the back end of this. I think Alabama is getting like $6 million to show up and play this one game at Jerry's World in Arlington to kick off the season. You're not just going to throw that away. If you can play it, you'll play it. And again, I understand that. We're going to have we don't know what the coronavirus situation is going to look like in this country at that time. Maybe everybody has to be within, you know, conference play. Nobody can play non-conference games. Who knows? But at this point, you know, I think I would still be looking at another plan. But good for Mike Bone, though, to kind of get ahead of this and say, look, hold on. We're looking at options. We're looking at other situations. We might have to find a way. And I don't know what those are. I mean, I'm just speculating here. I don't know what those are. I mean, do you bust the team out of LA County to work out in a place where it's open? Do you try to get some sort of some waiver from the government that says everybody else has to stay home, but we can hold football practices here at our facility? I don't know what those are, but Bone is really quick to go, no, wait, hold on. But here's the thing. When he wrote out his tweet, he really was careful. I mean, he didn't come out and guarantee a game. He didn't promise a game. He just said, look, we're looking at options. We're not done in terms of our season opener against the Crimson Tide. I'll be curious to see how it plays out. By the way, that from what I was reading yesterday, and I probably need a more clarification, but there was a news report that said that there was going to be a stay home order for 3 months in Southern California, and then that was pulled. And then I think the governor backtracked that a bit and said, no, we're going to be watching it and maybe looking at it more in phases. So it wasn't locked. So I don't exactly know what's going down in LA County, Southern California. Exactly. It feels like there was an initial report and then it was pulled back. That's a big deal because it's not just USC and college football and all that getting to practice, but Major League Baseball kind of needs to know too, because they're in this plan. They're going to want to know is Dodger Stadium and in Anaheim, are they going to be okay? Is Petco Park going to be okay? I mean, are they going to have to move these to another state? Arizona's willing to take teams in states that have a longer lockdown or a longer. So are we going to have to do that? So if I'm Major League Baseball, I'm paying attention to what's going on there too. I'm paying attention to everything. I mean, I'm looking at Detroit. I'm looking at all these other states where the opening up of the society is still a little tepid.
Yeah. So some states are rushing to it. Others are holding off. I'm more uneasy about it now than I was back in March.
Uneasy of what?
Everything having to deal with the coronavirus because there's so many different reports. Back in March, it was like, you know, the silent killer is coming. Then we all need to hunker down, bear down, and just wait it out. And I mean, I know it's been 2 months now, and I guess what the problem is that we still really don't have an answer for anything.
I think when this is over or this is subsided, I really hope both sides of the political media look at themselves and really, and I know they won't, but really analyze how they failed the American people on this.
Yeah.
Cause they really blew it. And I get it. If it's an election year on a polarizing president, but my God, I am so sick of watching one channel and it is, if you get this, you are going to die. And the other channel is, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Go out and do your thing. The answer is in the middle, and nobody in the middle doesn't sell, so we don't get the middle. That's my biggest complaint has been about all of this. There's not been any. Every single thing is, I got to be on the extreme. And, you want to do that with stupid political games of this money is important and this money is not important and this bill is important and this bill is not important. Okay, I get it. I understand politics. I understand how that works. But this is insane. This is insane how we can't get a real answer because people are like, I have to use this as a weapon. I have to use this information as a weapon to the other side. And I don't care what side of the political aisle you're from. I don't care if you're left of Stalin or right of Barry Goldwater. I don't care. To take pieces of information that the American public really needs analyzed, really needs processed, and to say this, it's more important to either support a president or to thwart a president is a disservice to this country. It has been a disservice to this country since the second this virus hit. It has been really a problem. Really a problem. All right, Good, the Bad, and the Dumb coming up next.
Wake Up Call continues now. time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so Good, the Bad, and the Dumb on a Throwback Thursday. By the way, Throwback Thursday going back to 1998. But we stay modern in the Good, the Bad, and the Dumb. So what is the good of the day?
The good of the day is right up your alley, man.
Right.
Well, I don't know if it's up your alley.
Okay.
But it's probably pretty close. A 60-year-old recently.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
No, not that. It's golf related. That's where it's up your alley. And, you know, you could really relate to this. But a 60-year-old amateur, his name is Anthony Griggs, won a D-Flight amateur event.
Okay.
Using only his putter.
Really?
He shot an 84 using only his putter.
Wow. I've always heard this, but like you people could do this, but I never really believed it. How do you, he just, I guess he could hit the ball a mile with his, wait a minute,
Now, you know, you're thinking about it more.
I wouldn't mind seeing it. Yeah. Like, the more like, it's one thing to just hit the hell out of the ball off the tee, but like when you need that little lob shot over the bunker, like how did you get the ball there?
Yeah, Griggs normally drives the ball over 200 yards off the tee.
With the putter?
With the putter.
Oh,
or no, not with the putter. I think just normal.
Okay.
But however, the amateur golfer lost interest with the traditional game of golf, and a friend suggested that he should play with just a putter for to increase the difficulty.
See, now that's kind of cool. Like, he was willing to go out there and say, I'll work on my game with just the putter. Now, the putter has a little bit of loft on it, but it's amazing that he's...
Maybe he never hit it into a trap at all.
You know,
I don't
what?
Know how he's, you get it out of a sand trap with a putter.
Well, that's here's the thing. What if he just went, look, this game has spent so much time in the air, I'm just going to keep it on the ground as much as possible.
Yeah, maybe so that's it.
I can hit it off the tee. When I hit it off the tee, it'll go in the air because there's a little, you know, there's loft on the putter and there's a little height off the tee. That'll go down. But when, you know, since 84 is 12 over par on a 72-par golf course, I have a stroke or two to play around with on certain holes. I'll just keep it on the ground as much as I can.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Not only that, Griggs used a Scotty Cameron putter while practicing just to use a putter.
See, those are good putters.
Yeah, but it broke leading up to the event.
Ha!
So instead of purchasing a brand new one, he went to a local Goodwill and bought a Wilson Staff putter for $2.99.
This is insulting to anybody he played against in every capacity.
Maybe it's not so good after all.
Like the guys
maybe I
got to
change this up.
The guys he beat are going back home to their wives going, I practiced every day.
Yep.
I took lessons. I went to the driving range. I worked on my short game in the backyard. I mean, I had it all down. I bought the brand new equipment. I got the fancy Titleist Pro V1s. I got a brand new glove. This guy went to the Goodwill store, bought a $2.99 putter, and beat me.
Not only that, but he beat the guy's name was Angel Faux. Faux? I don't know. F-A-U-X, by 6 strokes.
Oh, God, that's great. But you know what? You know what? Maybe he was able to be like, look, the way I'm playing, I'm avoiding trouble that costs you guys a lot of strokes. Like, if you're trying to hit a shot 100 yards over water, and you hit it in the water 3 times, I'm just going to go around the water with my putter.
Yeah,
I'm not even going near the putter.
I mean, you figure every time he stepped up to the hole, he probably said, you know what, I'll bogey this one. Like, he was not even thinking par. He's not thinking birdie. He's just like, I'll get a bogey here.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty much what he averaged.
Exactly.
I mean, he probably got a few pars here and there, and they were probably the par threes. It was a little bit closer, and he could, you know, get up and down in 3 shots. But probably it was par fours, par fives, maybe a couple par fives. It was a double bogey because I don't see how you can hit it that far.
Yeah.
That it would take you, you know, maybe 6-7 strokes. It would probably take you 6 strokes just to get to the green.
That is a great story. That is a great story. Makes me want to go to the range and just take my putter out on the tee and just to see what it would be like to hit my putter as a driver. See what would happen.
The other thing, you know, it makes me think about too is remember, you know, the movie Tin Cup.
Yes.
When Roy McIlvoy wins a golf tournament using nothing but a 7-iron.
That's right.
And you know, like I look at that, I'm like, you know what? That actually makes a lot more sense to me than a putter.
That, and in the movie, wasn't it, is Caddy Cheech, he broke the driver, but then he got mad and he said, well, fine, I'll break all my clubs but my seven. And yeah, he used that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very good. That's a good, yeah, good memory, Tin Cup. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is there's a video out there. It's two bads in one right here, right? I'll just tell you. I'll tell you what it is. There was a funeral service, and a corpse was, you know, in the grave.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah, go ahead.
And I don't know how, or basically what happened was you could see the corpse waving.
Yeah, it's really freaky. It's not as clear, but when you know it, when you watch the video, and
when
say,
they zoom
watch
in
it,
on it,
when you, they zoom in on it, it's pretty freaky. See it.
Now, two things came to mind. One is that would probably be the worst thing I could ever experience.
Yeah,
is seeing a corpse wave, and I guess that's a common thing that the body will just involuntarily move because rigor mortis is setting in.
Sure,
that makes all the sense in the world. That, you know, that, but what I didn't get, and it's really the bad for me, is why would you what's the purpose of the window?
Great in the question. Coffin? Great question. Why was there an opportunity for us to see as the coffin was being buried anything at all?
So to paint this picture for you guys, picture a coffin in the dirt, right? And people are standing around the grave. They're looking down in the ground. It's already 6 feet down. And the coffin, they're just saying their final respects before they just start filling the hole in, not to, you know, belittle the thing. But that's basically what they're doing, is they're just going to bury this thing in the ground. But there's a viewing hole, a window in the coffin.
That you can see the face.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't understand what the purpose of that is. And so, of course, while it's down there, all of a sudden you see the hand move in front of the glass. It's just quick. I mean, it's not like it's Forrest Gump waving on a boat, you know, back and forth, you know, veridically trying to get your attention or just saying hi. It just all of a sudden just like shifts, and you just see the hand come in front of this window. I mean, at the same time, you know, what really bothered me too was when you're watching this, the crowd didn't really react.
They didn't really see it. Yeah, exactly. it wasn't until somebody looked at the video.
Yeah, because I swear. If that happened during the funeral service and you picked it up, you're screaming.
Yeah, no doubt.
You are screaming, and you're saying, "No, no, no, we can't bury it. Burn it."
By the way, this is how the modern, the image of the vampire came about, because they, back in the day, they would dig up a body and they would open up the coffin, and the rigor mortis caused the nails to grow and the hair to kind of be all, what, you know, but the mouth would retract and there would be blood, just drips of blood based on just the body kind of decomposing a bit, and they would assume that that person had been out and feasting on blood of some sort, when actually it was just the body doing what the body does when it decomposes.
Look at you with the twisted history.
I did. I watched that on it was like a Halloween monster special thing. And I was fascinated by it, but yeah.
Did they explain, is it possible to build a Frankenstein using body parts from other people?
Not really, but, you know, bummer. I'm, you know, wouldn't mind seeing somebody try.
And I'm sorry, again, you know, if there's somebody out there listening right now yelling at me, it's like, it's not Frankenstein, it's Frankenstein's monster.
That's right. You hold off. We get it. Exactly. Exactly. But yeah, no doubt that I didn't need to see that. Now that I saw it, I can't unsee it every time.
Yeah,
I see
every
it,
time.
Know.
And now I'm always going to wonder, you know, how often did, you know, our loved ones move?
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, here's the thing. So in the last couple of weeks, I need to know if that was rigor mortis, and also I need to know about the UFOs. So I feel like I've got a couple of videos in the last couple of weeks that make me go, I don't need to know this stuff.
Yeah, and what's funny is that nobody cares.
Yeah, I know. It's just that UFO thing came and went, did it not?
It did.
Why aren't we screaming about this? Is it coronavirus?
Navy said, yeah, here's the footage. We don't know what the hell it is either.
Yeah, I saw it on
We're gonna
one
call it a
new
UFO.
Show, and I've never seen it again.
Yep.
Like, this should be the lead
and now
story
we
every
possibly
day outside
have,
of Corona.
We possibly have proof of a zombie uprising.
That's right.
You know, something that, we have feared for years now, made TV shows and movies about. Man, we don't really care.
Yeah, exactly.
That's back page story.
Gosh. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I gotta lay it on to Dennis Rodman. Dennis Rodman opened up a little bit about his first trip to North Korea.
Yeah, exactly.
He went there as part of a group with the Harlem Globetrotters, and North Korea was quick to say, hey, we tried to get Michael Jordan, but he didn't return our call, so you are our next best option. The only person that you could probably say that to would be Dennis Rodman, because Dennis Rodman's responsible. Oh, that's cool, man. Who cares?
Yeah, all right.
But anyways, he talked about the first time he met Kim Jong-un. I had no clue who this guy was. And to the point where Kim Jong-un invited him up to his box to watch the Harlem Globetrotters play. And Dennis Rodman said, you know, they sat down in what were king seats. So I'm picturing like little mini thrones.
Sure.
And then the crowd starts cheering. So he stands up and he starts waving to the crowd. And that's when somebody tapped him on the shoulder and said, no, it's for him. He still had no clue who Kim Jong-un was at that point.
Okay, so he should do a little research before he goes, yeah, realizing...
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah, and where was his people saying, okay, Dennis, I know you don't follow world affairs, but here's what's happening here. You're going to be landing in a country that is operating like this. And the leader is not only the leader, he's kind of like God. So here's just a couple of things to keep in mind when you're in North Korea. It's a dictatorial country. They kind of drag people out of their beds, and everything centers around that guy right there. If you meet this guy, didn't he say that there was hotties and vodka at the party?
Well, he said he went to a party and there was a little karaoke and some vodka, some hot toddies and stuff like that. Next thing you know, they're all drunk as bleep and he starts singing karaoke. He has no clue what anyone is saying. And then everyone starts clapping. And because Kim Jong-un invited out his 18-piece women's band.
Oh, very nice.
And he said these girls were hot, hot, hot. But they literally were an 18-piece band. Like, they literally came out and played music. And
so Kim Jong-un has his own personal 18-piece female band?
But the best part about this is why I laugh, is they only knew one song. So they played that song over and over and over and over and over again.
It's like a John Mulaney skit.
Yeah.
That's great.
Now, I'm trying to find it.
Ooh. What was the song? Was it a North Korean song, or was it something Dennis Rodman knew?
Oh, it was something that I think everyone knew.
Oh, okay.
Darn, it's not in here.
So they found some Western tune. And they just played that over and over again.
Yeah. You ready for the Western tune?
Why not?
The theme song to Dallas.
Oh, my God. Really? Did they even have words to that?
No, they just played that song.
They just played that song? Over and over and over again?
Yep.
That's like part of Dante's Hell, is it not?
That's got to be.
Right?
I mean, maybe that was Kim Jong-un's, maybe that's his TV show.
It's a great theme song, but I don't think I want to hear it for an hour.
Hours on end.
Right.
Right?
Just over and over again.
So Dennis obviously said, you know, WTF to that. Yeah. And then he says, when he was leaving, he said, here's 7 songs I want you guys to play next time I come here.
Oh, boy.
So he threw some Pearl Jam, Van Halen, Rolling Stones at them. The next time he came there, which is about a year later or 2 years later, they knew all those songs that he requested.
Oh, that's great.
All I can picture for Kim Jong-un to say is like, hey, this is what Dennis wants. This is all you guys are going to do.
That's it.
Every single day.
Wake up 18 hours a day. You're going to learn these songs for Dennis
Rodman.
Learn
these songs. You're going to play them perfectly. And he said they played them perfectly.
That's great. Great. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio.
Thursday, which means it's Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio, 1998, the final episode of Seinfeld airing on this date in 1998. Who's this?
The Wallflowers.
Wallflowers. Is this Jacob Dylan?
Yes.
Bob Dylan's son?
Yep. doing a remake of David Bowie's Heroes.
Good job. 1998. I totally forgot about the Wallflowers. Wow. When I think of Wallflowers, I think of like 92, 93, but I might be off on those years.
Yeah, no, they were much younger than that.
Yeah, so, wow. 1998, Seinfeld episode. A couple of people watched that episode, so we thought it was important. So, 76.3 million people tuned in on NBC to watch the final episode of Seinfeld. Fantastic. You know, it's so funny when people do the whole, when they look at Seinfeld and they go, how much of the skits just don't work today in terms of modern society? Like when they get lost because they didn't
in
have
the
GPS.
Mall. Yeah.
Yeah. Like just different little things that would, that a young person would watch and go, oh, why would you be concerned about that?
Funny you bring that up, because I think most of our listeners remember that episode.
Yeah.
How did they come up with the idea? Let's do an entire episode in the parking lot of a mall.
I know. That was great. Wasn't that brilliant?
Because we all can relate to losing our car, misplacing
exactly.
Your car, forgetting where we parked.
Exactly.
But let's take it a step further. What would be the equivalent of that today?
That's a good point. That's a good question. Yeah. There was one episode they did where, remember the Vandalay, where he had to run home to get the phone call, and he was in the bathroom, and he says Vandalay.
Yeah.
I could see somebody today watching that going, no, you mean you had phone, you had to go home to catch a phone call? You had to be physically at your house to answer an important telephone call? But yeah, it's still funny.